Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What is man? Who is man? Why does he exist? From whence has he come? And where is he going? Now, all of this is important to determine the nature of man and his proper conduct, to determine his duty and responsibility, even his morality. It designates man's place in this world and his level of dignity, his present and his future, as well as his accountability. The Bible informs man of his nature, his origin, his purpose, how he should live, and it informs man of his destiny. Now, men have concocted many theories and doctrines which, if they were true, would alter what the Bible teaches about man in all of these matters. Now, our study centers on the nature of man, the soul, immortality, and future punishment, as is taught by Seventh-day Adventists. Friend, it's not unfair to say that what they teach today may be changed tomorrow, because they contend for latter-day revelation. And if that be so, doctrines could be changed in a moment. But we shall try very hard not to misrepresent what they teach presently. Seventh-day Adventists teach the soul has no existence apart from the body, and that man is simply wholly mortal, with no entity capable of surviving physical death. Man to them is a complete unit, not with components. They say upon decay of the body, man has no existence whatsoever. There is no inherent immortality. However, they believe immortality will be given to the righteous conditionally because of Christ. Now, the cornerstone of Seventh-day Adventist doctrine is that immortality refers only to God, including Christ. But, dear people, it is a mistake to take one passage to the exclusion of others on the same subject and turn around and build a doctrinal system thereon. The Bible does teach the immortality of God and that He is the only source of it. But man is also immortal because God made him so. God is the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12 and verse 9. If immortality is exclusive to deity, so then is invisibility, which we all know is not so. Part of man is mortal, that's his body. But there is more to man than just his body, as shall be proven, and there's more evidence than we have time to present. Seventh-day Adventist doctrines contend the soul, the spirit, both in Old and New Testaments, do not remotely imply conscious entity able to survive physical death. But you read Daniel 7 and verse 15, it shows that there was more to Daniel than just the body. His spirit was in the midst of his body. They weren't the same. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, it certainly shows both body and spirit of man. The one returns to God, the other goes to the grave. In Matthew 10, verse 28, it shows the soul can survive the body. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 shows that there is more to man than just the body, but body, soul, and spirit. Well, that's sufficient to shoot down that doctrine. If Seventh-day Adventist doctrine is true, there are certain biblical affirmations that are reduced to the ridiculous. Now, that doctrine teaches the soul is merely breath. But did Jesus simply blow his breath on his people when he gave them the Spirit? When Jesus was troubled in spirit, did he only have a breath problem? Are Christians to simply cleanse themselves from offensive breath when they are taught to cleanse themselves from the filthiness of spirit? Did Peter teach people to just not breathe loudly when he taught them to have a quiet spirit? Do you lose your soul when you get your breath knocked out of you? Oh, friend, certainly soul and spirit is more than just the mere breath. Seventh-day Adventist doctrine contends death is not only the complete cessation of life, it is annihilation. But James chapter 2, verse 26 teaches, death is the separation of the body from the spirit. Seventh-day Adventist doctrine runs into problems here. Now, they say death is annihilation, and they contend that there is no immortality in man, but that the righteous will be given immortality when Jesus comes. Now, how can this be? The righteous die, and therefore, according to their doctrine, they are annihilated. To whom can the Lord give anything? Or will he just recreate man altogether? I ask you, is man resurrected, as the Bible teaches? Indeed he is. But if annihilated, there's nothing to resurrect. Seventh-day Adventist doctrine actually teaches the annihilation of both the good and the bad, but evidently a recreation of the good. But Hebrews 9 teaches that after death there is the judgment. But if the annihilation comes at death, what is there to judge? The truth is, death means separation. It does not mean annihilation, as they contend. And what about Adam? Of course, they deny that Adam died in any sense except physically. Genesis 2:17, Adam was warned that he would die in the day that he disobeyed God, but his physical death did not occur when he disobeyed God, not until hundreds of years later. Did God miss it? Obviously, friend, there are two kinds of death, physical and spiritual. The soul dies in the sense that by sin it is separated from God, Isaiah 59:1 and 2. How could those who have been annihilated bury others when Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead"? The conversion of which we read in James chapter 5, where one converts the sinner of his sins, he saves a soul from death. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, it shows that all death is not physical, because there was one that liveth in pleasure, and that she was dead even while she lived. Oh, that false doctrine once again is shot down. The Seventh-day Adventist doctrine teaches death brings total unconsciousness. Otherwise, they call it soul sleeping. And we have to ask, if death brings annihilation, what is there to sleep? Oh, they cite Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6, how the dead know not anything. But they quit reading too soon. The next verse says, neither have there any more reward. Now, if Seventh-day Adventist doctrine is true about verse 5, teaching soul sleeping, that would eliminate reward and immortality for anybody. The truth includes the phrase, under the sun. And that has reference to this life. The dead know not any more of this life because they have departed from this life. In Matthew 17, it also defeats this doctrine because we have Moses and Elijah with Christ on the mount when Jesus was transfigured. They had long since been dead physically, but they were aware. They were not sleeping. They were alive. They were existing. The martyrs were crying out in Revelation chapter 6. They were not unconscious. They were not soul sleeping. And the words hell and Sheol and Hades, Seventh-day Adventist doctrine says these terms all refer to simply the grave. You see, to them, punishment is inconsistent with mercy and love. And punishment is eternal only in the sense that it's final. They contend the wicked go to the grave, and that's the end of them, there being nothing more. The wicked lose nothing, they gain nothing. Now, this may be of some comfort to the wicked person to think this way, but it contradicts biblical teaching. The doctrine of no punishment for the wicked is inconsistent with the justice of God and the warnings of His wrath. It removes accountability for the wicked, and yet Paul says we all shall give an account. It denies the universal resurrection that Jesus taught. In Luke chapter 12 shows that there is something to fear after death. Again in Luke 12 it talks about the few stripes and many stripes, but Seventh-day Adventist doctrine says there's no stripes whatsoever. And Matthew 10 teaches how the judgment will be more tolerable for some than for others. But Seventh-day Adventist doctrine says there's nothing for the wicked to tolerate anyway. And what about Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre and Sidon and Bethsaida and Capernaum? Had they nothing to fear in spite of the warnings of Jesus Christ? Now, while Seventh-day Adventist doctrine says no punishment, Hebrews chapter 10 warns of sore punishment. While Seventh-day Adventist doctrine says death ends all for the wicked, Matthew 25 uses the same word, everlasting and eternal, to qualify both life and punishment. Matthew 25 speaks of the separation of the sheep from the goats, but Seventh-day Adventist doctrine recreates the sheep, and there are no goats from which to separate them because the goats have already been annihilated at death, according to their doctrine. Yes, David Lipscomb once said, I fail to see why any good man desires to convince people that wickedness would not meet a terrible punishment. Now, we have all of this, and we've not even discussed Lazarus and the rich man, which destroys Seventh-day Adventist doctrine by itself. Now, I know that Seventh-day Adventists strongly object to the use of Lazarus and the rich man, and well, they might. They call it just a parable. Of course, it's not called a parable in Scripture. They're the ones that call it a parable. There are evidences that it's not just a parable, which we do not undertake to discuss here, but what if it is just a parable? Does the parable teach a lie, or does it teach the truth? They claim it only teaches the uncertainty of riches. They claim it talks about only the responsibility for wealth, that this life is the time to prepare, and selfishness is wrong. Well, all of this is true. But that same thing also teaches existence and life after death. It teaches consciousness and accountability and the sufficiency of the Scriptures. It teaches the punishment for the wicked as surely as reward for the righteous. I think it's somewhat strange also that they say it teaches the sufficiency of Scripture when their contention for latter-day revelation denies the sufficiency of the Scripture. Our friend, man is body, but he is also soul and spirit and heart. The heart of man has the capacity to think and to reason and to purpose and to believe. The heart of man loves and sorrows and desires and understands. The heart fears and despises. These are not qualities of the body, but of the spirit. And as for the use of the rich man and Lazarus, Ellen G. White, the founder of Seventh-day Adventism, claimed that Jesus only used the misconceptions of people at that time to convey more important truths, and that he simply never bothered to correct their erroneous doctrines and opinions. This is nigh blasphemy. Jesus Christ never taught error, nor did he build truth upon error, nor did he convey truth in the vessels of error, leaving error intact. Seventh-day Adventist doctrine destroys the dignity of human life. It reduces him to nothing more than just an animal. It is rank materialism. It removes personal responsibility and accountability, which are deterrents to sin. It removes the wages of sin and the rewards of salvation. It sets aside scripture after scripture regarding the nature of man, the resurrection, the judgment, and eternity. It denies man is created in God's image, God being spirit, and the Father of spirits. And man is in his likeness in that regard. In Acts 17 and also Acts 24, we're taught the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. My dear friend, we better believe it, and we better prepare for it. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.